I woke up one day and I was like, there must be more to life than this. I was partying every night, getting drunk. A lot of like misconceptions and just things that were like a barrier to accepting the faith. And the Holy Spirit just, woo, took me by surprise. Like I felt just
really?
Like his presence go all the way through my body. When I came home in the holidays and told everyone I was a Christian, everyone was super worried because they thought I had joined a cult.
Welcome back to the Come See podcast. It's me, Dami Okeke, and I'm your host. Yes, we are in a very different room, but I am in a very good company because my guest today is an amazing, talented vocalist. She has the voice of an angel. She's an award-winning singer-songwriter who has grown a dedicated fan base independently, making music with a faith-based message. And she has a brand new project to tell us about. Welcome to the Come See podcast, Asha Aaliyah.
Hey.
I'm so excited to have you
I'm
here.
I'm really happy to be here.
I feel like we've overcome the mountains and the valleys to make this happen.
Exactly.
But we're here.
It's going to be worth it.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. So let's go straight in. Your Come See story. You grew up in a family that was not of the Christian faith. Let's start from there.
So I think probably went to church like a handful of times growing up with my grandma.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, my family weren't of faith.
Yeah. So what was upbringing like in Asha Aaliyah's childhood home? What were the dynamics?
So I didn't really get to know my dad until I was like 16 maybe. Mm. So like it was just me, my mum, my sister, and then extended family.
So you lived with your mum and your sister?
Yeah, and I wouldn't call him a stepdad, but he was my mum's long-term partner at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, but faith did not come up on a Sunday, was just any other day.
Yeah, exactly. Any other day.
So let's fast forward to uni when it all goes down. Mm-hmm. Tell me about, pretend that I don't know all of this. Tell me what happened.
So I got to campus. I was really excited for pre-freshers and freshers. I was partying every night with my new flatmates, getting drunk, just being very silly. And I think I woke up one day and I was like, there must be more to life than this. Because you know that hangover feeling? You might not know that feeling. But
oh, I know that feeling. Yeah. I was not always holy, saved and sanctified, you know.
Yeah, I was having one of those mornings and I was just like, there has to be more to life than this. And then the people that I kept meeting just around campus and stuff, they just happened to be like Christians. And I remember some people, I don't know if you know the church First Love.
Yeah.
Dragged me to their church, yeah. And I thought,
dragged. No shade, First Love. No shade.
No, but it was good. It was good exposure to the church. And then I started going to like their study groups and like meeting the Christians and going to a Christian union. And it just so happened, like, everyone that I met that was Christian, they just seemed so, like, put together. Like, their life was just on a different plane to everyone else. And that kind of drew me in. And then some people from my uni's Christian union that brought me to church and I ended up giving my life to Christ. So.
Do you remember the day, the hour, the minute when that happened? Or was it a gradual, as you encountered, you know, the church, as you encountered Christians, it happened? Or Can you say, okay, no, it was when I went to this particular service, this happened, and then I was like, you know what, Jesus, I belong to you.
I would say it's a mix of both because I had that moment, but before that, there was a whole, like, few weeks of, like, debating and doing research.
Tell me about it. What happened?
A lot of, like, misconceptions and just things that were, like, a barrier to accepting the faith. Like, questions like, oh, like, hasn't the Bible been changed time and time again? Things like that. So I had to kind of debate those things out, and then I realised that it's actually quite logical in a way, even though the Bible says that the things of the faith are foolishness, there's also the logical side of it of we haven't just ended up here by chance. Like,
yeah.
It's just so unlikely. So after those debates, my heart was so open that when I did go to a different church, I got saved and redeemed. So
yeah, shout out to RCCG. Yeah. We're shouting out all the churches today. All the churches.
So by the time I'd done all that debating, I went to RCCG and the Holy Spirit just, woo, took me by surprise. Like I felt just like his presence go all the way through my body. Like it was like a warmth, like a warm sensation. Wow. And the only thing that I can describe it as, it felt like liquid warmth.
Wow. Going
through me, like love.
Mm,
yeah, liquid
acceptance.
Love. Yeah, exactly. It just felt like that revelation hit me of how loved I am. So from there, that's like, okay, I'm a Christian now.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So you wrestled with those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was willing to entertain those questions. And I think it's something for us to remember, for those who are Christians, who watch this podcast, we shouldn't be so great defenders of the faith that we are offended by people's questions, because actually, like Ash's testimony, God is not intimidated by our questions. And if we can ask, he's willing to actually address them, answer them. He's willing to, you know, demystify all the, you know, the stereotypes that are associated with Christianity and being a Christian in order for us to, like you were saying, Asha, encounter his love.
It's true.
So it's just an encouragement that we shouldn't be so intimidated or offended when people ask these questions about the Christian faith, because at least they're asking, you know, and our God is not threatened by that, because he's the way, the truth and the life. He can handle a few, you know, questions. So you were at the Redeemed, a service at a Redeemed Christian Church of God service. You encounter the Holy Spirit for the first time. You're like, nah, I'm sold. Definitely, I'm a Christian. What happens next?
So the person that brought me to church was someone I was dating at the time.
You know what? Yeah, God has a sense of humor. Because the amount of times people be telling me, there was a guy I liked, like my own story, there was a guy I liked who said I should come to his church.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's not always like, not messy. Like sometimes it's messy.
It's messy.
Because even the person that was debating with me, that gave me the time, it's so silly. But I found out afterwards that they had a crush at me at the time as well.
Oh, wow.
So like, it was very silly. But God used the silliness to get me saved.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so funny.
So I was dating that person, but they weren't really a Christian. They just wanted me to get saved.
Look at you. The new Christian now analysing.
It took me a while to realise, but your faith,
you know, the fruit, your works.
Exactly.
It's not matching the words.
It wasn't matching at all. So they end up telling me that they only wanted me to become a Christian so that I would be accepted by their parents, because they came from quite like a strict Nigerian home.
Wow.
So I was wrestling in that relationship for a while, because it's like, I'm a new Christian and I'm with someone that clearly is not interested in the gospel.
Wow.
They're just like,
what a dynamic. What a dilemma.
Piano, like, yeah.
What a dilemma. Yeah. Was he a PK playing the piano?
He was a PK, I think, yeah.
The audacity. Oh my goodness. So, isn't it funny? So despite this person having ulterior motives, God still drew you to himself.
Yeah.
In such a messy scenario.
Yeah. I'm so grateful.
So I'm guessing you were like, this isn't gonna work.
I thought I was gonna marry this person. I was so stupid. I think I was 18 at the time. I literally thought, we're gonna get married, but praise God that didn't happen.
So I'm bewildered. Okay, so you move on from this relationship that didn't work.
Uh-huh.
How did you not become disillusioned, like, after that? Like,
what do you mean?
How did you not feel like, wait, is this what is coming up now? Christians that are not really Christians? Like, or did you feel like, oh, he's just a one-off?
I think because I had made friends with others. People in the Christian Union and others, I had such a good example of other people that were like serious about their faith and they really discipled me. So
Discipleship is so important because just like even that example with the guy that you were seeing at the time, it's one thing to carry a label of being a Christian, it's another thing to live it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to live it out without being discipled.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to live it out without having somebody journeying with you and holding you accountable, exactly. Challenging you,
100%.
You know, calling you to account, to give account to some of your, you know, your choices. Mm-hmm. By reason of having heard some of your testimony before, you shared that your family were a bit worried. Tell me about that, when they found out that you'd become a Christian.
Yeah, so when I came home in the holidays and told everyone I was a Christian, everyone was super worried because they thought I had joined a cult.
They were like, you've become a what?
All they knew is I was completely different. Like, my whole essence was different. And they were like, who is this person? They're really worried, obviously, because they're not around me, because I'm in a whole different city. So there was a whole, like, not uproar, but the family meetings were very dramatic. People were busting into tears, you know what I mean?
Like, what? Yeah. That you were a Christian?
Because they were just like, what is going on? Like, why are you this different?
Wow. Okay, I'm going to ask in the hope that they now see that it was the best thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's crazy because my mum and sister have now found like their own churches. They're now saying that they're Christians. So like,
wow.
Like God has done so much in my family. So goodness. I'm really grateful.
I can't believe your family was crying to hear that you were Christian. Wow. And it just goes to show, what reputation do we have out there for people to be like, what? You gave your life to God?
Yeah.
No, why? Oh my goodness. Okay, so you're developing as a child of God, you're being discipled. How does music come into this?
After a few years, or after 2 years of being a Christian, my whole music taste had changed.
What were you listening to before?
I was listening to like Kendrick, Drake, Kanye.
Wow.
Janae. Yeah,
okay.
Her bias, yeah. and I just, for me, there was some music out there that like I would listen to, like praise and worship, but there wasn't that contemporary music that I was used to listening to, like the type of music I was used to listening to. So I was really frustrated with God, and I just,
Explain that to me.
Where's the options? Like, come on. Like, where's the vibes? Like, I want to vibe like I used to vibe. Mm. And I just kept complaining. And then one day I just felt like God kind of prompted me and said, like, okay, why don't you make it then? And I was just like, yeah, but I don't know how to sing. I don't know.
Just a small, a minor detail.
Exactly. But like, I'm so grateful that I had loads of friends that were musicians.
Okay.
So I asked my friend James to help me, and he...
Shout out, James.
Yeah, shout out, James. I wouldn't be here today without him. He produced a song for me in his uni room. And then he helped me to sing it. Like, he
taught you how to hold a tune.
Exactly. He went through it meticulously. Yeah.
Wow. So after you had that first recording session and the song was put together, why didn't you just think, okay, that was a nice hobby, back to whatever it is I'm supposed to be doing? Why did you lean into that more? Mm-hmm. How did you get that confirmation that, nah, Asha, you've got something here?
So I put the song out, and I just felt like everyone was gassing it. Like, everyone was just like, nah.
Hyping the song. Yeah. You were like, yeah, okay.
And like, for a first song, that was the first song I ever wrote and put on Spotify and stuff. And it's now over a million streams.
Wow. So like, what song was that?
It was called Serve.
Okay. Self. Self.
Serve.
Serve.
Yeah,
Serve.
Yeah, yeah. So okay. It's a very simple song. But like, to me, that was like, nah, this defo shows.
This is not a blip.
If people are wanting more, then let me just give people more.
Give them what they want.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So did you have... Let's talk about like the spiritual aspect of this.
Mm.
Did you ask God, like, is this what you want me to do? Were you just going with the flow, or was it like, did you start to feel like this is an assignment or anything like that?
I think I felt like there was clearly a need.
Yeah.
And also I felt like the fact that people were really feeling it was confirmation.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like
the response.
Yeah. God kind of opened the door.
Yeah.
But the energy I was getting from people was just like, okay, we actually need this. So to me, it was like, if I'm loving people, then
I'm providing this material, this content for them.
Yeah.
This type of music for them. That's amazing. So how, what were the next steps for you after you decided that, yep, I'm going to continue to serve people in this way? What did you do next?
I got a job. I moved back to London. This was after uni. And I really tried to like get better at singing because it was a deep insecurity of mine.
Wow. Because
you know how gospel singers are.
Yeah, incredible. Like, doing ad libs.
Exactly.
Riffs.
I couldn't stay in key. And people were asking me to come and sing in their churches. I couldn't stay in key. Do you know what I
mean? Like, I want to come, but I'm not sure you want me to come.
Yeah, I went. I embarrassed myself. But like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I had to like battle through all that stuff.
So did you have to get vocals training or what did you do?
I couldn't afford
practicing
that. I tried to practice I'd say I'm still on that journey today, so
what makes you feel like, I love your transparency, by the way, because actually for a singer to say that, it's not something a lot, you know,
yeah,
a lot of singers are like, no, I've been singing since I was since I was in my mother's womb, you know. So for you to come out, you know, and say that, I value that your transparency. But then my question to you is, there must be something in you that gives you that confidence that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, despite having to still develop your skills. Mm. And what is that?
It's like when I've asked God so many times, like, is there anything else you want me to do? Because like, I'm really done. And every time I just know that He wants me to keep going with this.
Wow.
But I think having the values of wanting to embrace my comfort zone and knowing the value of failing has really helped me through the years, because I haven't seen failing as like a reason to step back, but more so like the more I fail, the more likely I am to succeed in the end anyway.
Wow.
People who fail the most are the
ones who end up succeeding.
Exactly. So...
So what kind of attitude do you have towards failure now then? I'm intrigued by that. When something doesn't work, what does Asha do?
When it doesn't work, I'll cringe.
You'll be like, oh. You go and hide for a little while, hibernate.
I mean, especially because like growing up, I had the biggest stage fright. Like I couldn't even imagine myself on stage. Like I was so scared.
You were shy.
Yeah. And like... now that I've gone on stage and failed and done things that I never thought I would ever have to go through, it's just like, okay, that's happened now. Now the next time I go on, I'm not going to be afraid of that because I know I didn't die.
The worst is,
yeah.
Now I need some tea. What? Give me an instance where you were like, Asha, don't ever do that again.
I would say there was a time, I don't know if you guys have heard of Gospel Hydration.
Yes.
But they invited me to perform. It was paid. I forgot my lyrics on stage and I completely froze. Like I was just looking at the audience. The audience was just looking at me. It was so bad. Eventually, the other person I was on stage with, they started singing the lyrics for me and then I remembered it. But before that, it felt like an eternity just looking at people.
Just bare white noise. Oh my goodness.
It was so jokes.
So, yeah. But it wasn't jokes at the time, I'm sure.
No, it wasn't jokes at the time.
What happened? So you came off stage and you were like...
Yeah, I was really embarrassed. Yeah. But at the same time...
And then Asha, something in you, you have this resilience. You were like, yeah, we're going again.
Yeah, because now it's just like, okay, that's happened.
That's
now.
Happened.
Like,
that's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn my lyrics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's called failing forward. I've heard a lot of people using that term. And failing forward is basically, don't quote me, but what I've seen from afar is that it's not the absence of failure, but it's about progressing. Mm-hmm. Even as you fail, you're progressing.
Exactly.
So, you know, rather than... you know, that instance happening and then you kind of retreating and be like, I'm never going on the stage again. That is a failure.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And that's where the story ends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, no, I'm finna go again.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get paid again. But this time, this is the failing forward now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna learn my lyrics.
Exactly. Yeah.
And make sure that the person who's backing me mm-hmm. knows my lyrics as well. So if I'm silent, just come in, do it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So... Tell me then about your music project, because this is something that I really want to hear about. You're very excited about it. Tell me about the album.
Wow. So I would say the main themes of the album are like grappling with purpose and trusting God, friendship breakups, and falling in love.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to talk about love. Yeah. Because you got married last year.
Yeah, November.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's married life like?
Married life, I don't think I expected, like, I didn't go in with any expectations, but it's just so beautiful being with the person you love and your best friend and waking up next to them and being able to hug and everything. It's just the freedom, like, especially after like being like a Christian couple where there's a lot of restrictions.
Yeah.
When you get married, it's just like, wow, like we actually get to journey for life now, like...
You get to do the do and just be.
Yeah, but what would you say marriage is like? Because you have a lot more experience.
I mean, okay, I've been married for 8 years, but I think one of the scriptures that really I gained a new perspective of it after getting married was where it says that Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed. And I feel like every Christian marriage should aspire to get to that place where you can be not just physically naked, that's good too, but where you can be transparent, vulnerable with your life partner and not be ashamed. I feel like to me that is one of the most rewarding aspects of marriage. So when you talk about being able to journey through life with somebody, it's such a gift.
Yeah.
It's not all, you know, butterflies and roses, by the way. It's hard work.
Tell the people.
You're newlywed. Are you still on your honeymoon high, or have you come down a bit?
I think we're both like, I feel like we can have a challenge and then the next day honeymoon
you're
high
back
again.
Up. Yeah. Good.
I don't know what you'd call that, but
life. Yeah. I think that's the reality of marriage. Yeah. It's not roses every day. But what have been some of the life, the early lessons you've had as a newlywed?
I think right now, learning how to bear with each other's... Learning how to bear with each other's faults.
Because you see... Another thing that's amazing about marriage is you see another human being's faults in HD.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4K, like the best quality.
Exactly.
You see it like up close and personal. You're like, oh, but I love you. But exactly. Why is that there? So how have you dealt with having to kind of be like, I still love you?
I think the biggest thing is understanding husband's heart. Because even if some things that he might do, I might be like, oh, like this is hard to like to deal with. But at the same time, no, he's like a man that just tries his absolute best in life and absolute best as a
husband.
What's
your husband's name?
Mia Bakker.
Mia Bakker.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mia Bakker. You see how she's... You're doing well. Because look at the way she's, you know, my husband's heart. And
yeah, I think because I know that he's never coming from a bad place. He's such a reasonable person. Like,
I can identify with that. Like, my husband is also a gentleman. Like, he's strong-willed. But when you remember who your man is, you're like, no, but he's a good guy.
Exactly.
He's actually all right.
I have to appreciate, definitely. Yeah. So that's helped not like vinylize.
You got it. Vinylize.
Yeah, because sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, this person like
he's bad.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Cool. We were talking about your music. Sorry, I got carried away talking about marriage.
Right.
So, you know, you talk about love, you talk about, you know, friendship breakups. What can people expect? What are you excited for people to hear?
I think all the songs, but I wrote a song that was like kind of hard to write. It was the friendship breakup one. It was about someone that I had been best friends with since I was like 14.
Wow.
And then, like, we stopped being friends last year.
But now I need to ask, how does that even happen? As a Christian?
Oh, but like,
they're not a Christian.
They weren't, no. That's okay. Why it was kind of like me holding on, but it's like, it's so different. And
okay.
And it's like, I realised afterwards, like, that I had to take the majority or all of the blame because it's like, I'm the Christian here. And it's like, I've given someone the title of best friend that don't even know the Lord. Like, wow. Really?
So do you feel like it was an unequal yoking?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
Wow. Tell me about that, because there are people who will be like, no, like, my best friend is not a Christian and we vibe, we're cool, we get on. You know, and fair play to them. It is possible to have really good friends. I have friends who are not Christians. Mm-hmm. And we've been friends for years.
Yeah.
But your best friend?
Exactly.
The best friend?
Yeah.
What was the straw that broke the camel's back? What was the, like, nah, this is not going to work? Without revealing too much.
Yeah.
Because I understand it's a sensitive.
I think when I was getting married and preparing for the wedding, obviously that person was my best friend. So I gave them the maid of honor. Yeah.
Oh, I can see it now. Oh.
And like, maid of honor comes with a lot of things. It comes with like helping with family drama and stuff like that.
Yeah. And the spiritual responsibility. Who's interceding? Who's praying?
Exactly. So it came to like sorting family dramas out, and I realized, wait, this person's actually making the dramas.
This person's like, oh, and then what happened? Okay. Okay, I feel you, I understand.
And then, it was my fault because I tried to have a best friendship where it didn't make sense because I'm also trying to put the boundary in of not being influenced by this person because they're not Christian.
Wow.
And so it became very unfair on that person because it's like the mixed signals. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can really feel for it. But I'm just, in the end, in the song, I'm just talking about how you can think something. Because in the end, I end up getting ghosted.
Ooh. So, yeah. She gave you silence.
Exactly, silence. So it was like, I was processing those feelings.
Yeah.
But also realizing like, it was really my fault.
Yeah.
But I knew better. God had been speaking to me about this for ages.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to cut it off because then it was like, we've been friends, like talking every day for the past, since we were 14.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
To go from that to, I mean, now you've got a new best friend anyway. Your husband now.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what you
meant. Did you see what she did? Of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I feel like, especially in the song, I'm talking about how that space is now open for me to ask, like, allow God to direct the right people into my life for the right season and not just hold on just because I've had how many years with someone. So,
absolutely. Because we can idolize those relationships.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
We can be like, oh, this is my ride or die. Mm-hmm. Duh, 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 duh. But then it's like, how do you reconcile the fact that that person is your ride or die? But they're not saved. They don't have salvation.
Exactly, yeah.
They're not your ride or die.
No.
Because if they were your ride or die, you'll be interceding for that person every day for them to come to know Jesus.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because when you get to heaven, mm-hmm. you're not going to see that person there.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's almost like for those who are friends with non-Christians, which is not a thing I have, some of my closest friends are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to understand that you have a responsibility to pray for that person's salvation. It doesn't mean you're force feeding them, come to my church, da, 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 because you will get ghosted like Asha. But it means that friendship should not be something in your life that, oh, God, don't touch this because, you know, this is outside of the Christian bubble or umbrella. Everything about us is in Christ, mm-hmm. and that has to include all our friendships as well.
Exactly. And I think my mindset was like, God, help me to be a light, mm-hmm. and like for that to happen on like your God's timing and not my mm-hmm. own. But mm-hmm. then I think at the same time, it's like, you don't, there's a, like, even with Jesus, like, he was friends with
sinners,
but he had his inner circle that were being discipled by him and were actually on the right path. Like, there has to be that sort of difference. And I feel like that's something that my husband definitely has helped me with in terms of like, just like helping me to actually talk to people about faith and not just take the seat of passivity and be like, I just want to be a light, but I don't want to have the difficult conversations. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I think like I can even like partly, what's the word? I'm always thanking him every day for how he's influenced my family, because I don't know if they would be in church right now without him. Really? So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So he helped you to witness to them. He helped you to bring them to Christ.
100%. Yeah.
I like this, your husband, you know. He's a good guy. He is. Okay, so we've basically run out of time.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fine, because we'll get you to come back on another time as well. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things that you want us to know about what's coming up for you? And then I've got one more question for you after that. Like the album, is there anything else coming up for
after
you?
After the album, headline show, first ever headline show.
She won't be forgetting her lyrics, don't worry.
I'm so excited. Like it's been a long time coming. Like I should have done this years ago. So yeah.
Where's it going to be?
It's going to be in, is it East London or North London? I don't know.
I'll put the details in the description box.
Oh, it's N22, so that's North London.
Yeah, North London.
Yeah.
Cool. Amazing. So I'll put the details in the description box. Hopefully by then we'll be able to share
we'll go
all the details.
Out for this one.
Yeah? So, amazing. And then my final question to you is, what would you say to somebody who is who is not a Christian, but is struggling with those questions that you once struggled with? What would be your invitation to them? Struggling with the questions about faith, questions about is Jesus real? What, you know, does the Bible contradict itself? Those questions that in your early stages when you were at uni, those questions that you struggled with, what would you say to somebody who's not a Christian, but who is interested in a Christian faith? What would you say to someone about that?
I would definitely say, like, just message someone or ask someone, go to a church. People want to talk about this stuff. Like, I know people that can talk about this for days and days and days. If you want to, you can message me on Instagram as well. I'll be happy to talk about it.
Oh, you got an open invitation.
Yeah. Exactly. So, just have conversations. Just talk, like...
Ask questions.
It's not the kind of faith where you have to just believe everything you've been told. Like, we're allowed to hash things out with God. And our relationship with God gets stronger when we actually bring our doubts to Him. So,
Amazing. Asha Aaliyah. Thank you so much for coming
for
on the podcast. It's been fun. It's been good.
Yeah, it's
been
really
we're
going
to get you back. Maybe after the headline concert.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. 100%. That'd be fun.
Thank you very much for listening to the Come See podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, like. Do you have a similar testimony to Asha? Or perhaps, you know, you've had some kind of dare in the headlights moment on stage as well, like Asha was sharing. I'd love to read your comments below. Until next time, God bless you.